The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
A dictator bent on rebuilding an empire will never erase a people's love for liberty. Brutality will never grind down their will to be free. Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia. For free people refuse to live in a world of hopelessness and darkness. We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principle, hope and light, of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
There he goes again, calling for more war, world war, in fact. He's, I guess, he says the quiet part out loud. We're told it was off script. But he's calling for regime change. Putin must go. Of course, all of his handlers had to dial that way back over the weekend. But there he was in Poland, of all places. Right next door to Ukraine. Your fake president going on and on about the butcher in Russia, the war criminal. And of course, all that's true. He is a butcher. He is a war criminal. But he's not going there to de-escalate, that's for sure. At least not when you look at his words, not when you look at the rhetoric. We'll put aside the fact that a lot of the weapons and the things that Ukraine needs, they still aren't making it into Ukraine. But this comes at a time, this comment, when you've got nations in Europe that are looking into, okay, how can we sit down and try to convince these two powers to cease their hostilities? How can we convince Putin to draw back? And there's indications that because Russia has bogged down so much in Ukraine that Putin is ready to maybe cut some of his losses. But then in comes Joe Biden. We've got to get him out. He cannot remain in office. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show on CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. If you'd like to get to the live video stream, however, that's offered exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. And you can see the live stream every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. And, of course, you can get to the podcast posted after the fact on that same page or at our front page at thetrumpet.com. So, as I say, there's indications that Russia, Richards pulled together quite a few stories from our Edstone office showing that Russia's prepared to even take a bit of a loss in Ukraine because it hasn't gone as fast as Putin was hoping here again to try to get a handle on what's actually happening. It's still difficult with the back and forth and with the propaganda war in Russia, in the West. We had a Trumpet brief last week that talked about Putin winning the propaganda war at home in Russia. And then you see Zelensky, Ukrainian officials, they're winning a lot of the propaganda war in Western circles. In any event, Russia, we know, has firepower. They've got the chemical weapons. They've got the WMDs. They've got the nukes. And so, like we saw on our news stack today, if they really, 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 really wanted it, they could go and take Ukraine, and they probably still will with the conventional warfare, at least the southern part of it. But think of the United States, and again, this just it's difficult for me to wrap my mind around because for so long, Democrats and all people associated with them have been appease. Don't say anything inflammatory. Let's dial it back a notch. And here in the last few weeks, as I've pointed out to you, and coming from the media as well. Well, what about if they use chemical weapons? We'll use chemical weapons too. Oh, yes. What do you think about Putin? He's a butcher. He is a butcher, as if he's the only butcher in the world. There's a lot of drug cartels, by the way, just south of America's border. Butchers slaughtering people. People running from their lives for their lives there as well. I'll get to the comparison that Joe Biden made between the Ukraine border and America's southern border in just a moment. In any event, the New York Times spoke of this fiery speech that Joe Biden gave in Poland before all of these Polish officials and EU officials. And he talks about this war between liberty and oppression. He's there to expose tyranny. That's his mission, he says. And then he pops off with this statement, I guess off script, right at the end of his remarks in that speech on Saturday. Listen again, clip two.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
So this comes, remember, after he's accused Putin of being a war criminal. Earlier in the day on Saturday, he calls him a butcher. And then at the end of this speech, Saturday afternoon and evening, he says he's got to be removed from power. Now, think about for a moment, just think about how this plays perfectly into Putin's narrative, the propaganda that he's been spewing forth to his people and beyond, the fact that the West, the US-led NATO forces, they're coming after Russia. They want to remove the Putin regime. And you can see it in the way that they're going after Ukraine. So we've got to go into Ukraine and defend ourselves. This is what Putin has been preaching. And then Biden comes along and says, yeah, we've got to remove Putin. We've got to take away the Putin regime. He can't go on leading Russia. This just feeds into that fire that Putin has been stoking for some time now. It's really quite extraordinary to watch. And then you look at the angle of, you know, the U.S. press and how they're egging it on. Listen to Jim Jordan. He was on, I think, one of the Fox shows over the weekend. Here's what he said, clip eight.
So, I mean, I think you could say that, you know, here's a president potentially having more war-triggering type language than probably any president in American history.
That's what's so amazing is when you compare it to what Donald Trump said. I think Trump, for his part, said, I mean, it's as if he's encouraging Putin to use more powerful weapons. This is from the BBC this morning, a commentary piece over there. Why Biden's off-script remarks about Putin are so dangerous. I mean, you know it's bad for this illegitimate administration. If you lose the BBC, you know it's bad. The BBC says over the past week, U.S. President Joe Biden has made a series of unscripted remarks that have upped the temperature of U.S.-Russia relations to near boiling point. Biden's brought this on. Kamala Harris went over there to fix it. She was a disaster. And then here comes Joe Biden. He's worse. He's been worse. They cannot keep him on script. He's like a loose cannon. It says here, however, his ad-libbed line at the end of what was billed as a major speech in Poland on Saturday, seemingly calling for President Vladimir Putin to be removed from power, may have landed the hardest. It was almost comical listening to Morning Joe this morning try to defend this, try to speak about it as if, well, this is a good thing. Yeah, let's get Putin out of power. Putin has nukes, thousands of them. When have you heard Western leaders? This is why all the leaders in Europe are up in arms. Emmanuel Macron, Boris Johnson, they're thinking, we've got to negotiate with this. He's our neighbor, after all. There's war in Europe. We want it to stop. Biden's talking like he wants this to continue. It's as if he wants the war to worsen. If Biden truly did say the quiet part out loud, if the strategy is to let the war just continue on, not to help Ukraine win, but to bring Putin down by this war of attrition, if it just goes on long enough, that maybe then the people in Russia will rise up and remove Putin from power. How is this helping the Ukrainian people? We hear about the suffering in Mariupol. We hear about the cities that are being leveled and destroyed. How is this helping stop a humanitarian crisis? To just want to extend the carnage, extend it long enough, hopefully, to bring down Putin. Is that the strategy? You can say, well, he was off script. He didn't really mean to say it. All of his handlers came out soon after and said, no, regime change. That's not our policy. But look at the speech as a whole. Look at the rhetoric that was said in the lead up to it. I don't know if it was the quiet part. Well, it was the quiet part. That's the point. It may not have been in the script. It says here in his speech to a crowd of assembled Polish government officials and dignitaries, the U.S. president once again warned that the world was in the midst of an era-defining conflict between democracies and autocracies. And right before the conclusion is when he came out and said, this man, speaking of Putin, the butcher, the war criminal, cannot remain in power, one Russian spokesperson said after that. After Biden made the remark, this speech and the passages which concern Russia is astounding, to use polite words. He doesn't understand that the world is not limited to the United States and most of Europe. There was an item in the news stack on how that, I guess there was a UN vote. It's something like 3/4 of the nations in the world strongly condemn Russia's actions in Ukraine. The other quarter, though, even though it's just 25-30%, when you take into account their populations, you know, India, Pakistan, China, Iraq, it's about half and half. So there's some perspective for you. And it's not like we're here to try to take sides. It's not about that at all. It's just to help you get a better perspective of what's actually happening and how that this has divided the world. You've got basically half of the world's population who are supportive of Vladimir Putin. Then you've got the other half who strongly condemn it. And then you've got one leader of the superpower, the United States of America, saying Putin must go. There's quite a few people in this world that are outraged by that, including even many leaders in the West. Is this how you solve this conflict, this dispute, this problem? Is this how you dial it down? Is this how you save more Ukrainian lives? Or does this make matters worse? This is a Biden administration official after he made that remark. The president's point was that Putin cannot be allowed to exercise power over the neighbors, over his neighbors or the region. He was not discussing Putin's power in Russia or regime change. So they were quick on the draw. Quick to go to the Sunday shows, quick to tell all of the talking heads, he didn't really mean it. So here we go again. He didn't remember early on, like a month before the conflict, when Biden said, now we wouldn't really do anything if Putin went in there and kind of just took a little sliver of Ukraine. He just opened the door for Putin to say, well, if they're not going to do anything, I'll just waltz right in. And sure enough, that's what he did. And then all these other statements, Biden coming, sanctions don't work. Well, sanctions do work. When he said sanctions don't work, he actually meant that they do, you see. And now this, he's a butcher, he's a war criminal, he must go. Now, hang on a second, by saying he must go, we meant that he must go from Ukraine, not from Russia. We're not regime, this is not about regime change that you can believe in. This is the Daily Telegraph. It says here, the president's emotional speech in Poland on Saturday put his relationship with Western allies under strain while fueling the Kremlin's claim that Russia is faced with an existential threat. This is what Putin's telling his people. We're the ones under threat here. Listen to Joe Biden. That's all he has to say now. They want to talk about how Tucker Carlson's being played in Russia. How about this comment from the fake president? I'm pretty sure that's all over the news cycle in Russia. That's right. We're going after Putin. There's a lot of people in Russia just like there is in China, in India, and elsewhere, there's a lot of people that actually support Putin. It says here, Donald Trump said his successor in the White House was almost giving Putin an incentive to use nuclear weapons. I mean, Trump's right. How do you even compare some of this rhetoric with a tweet that Donald Trump would send out? It says here, a senior U.S. diplomat said Mr. Biden had made a dangerous situation more dangerous and threatened to extend the scope and duration of the conflict. It is seen as the latest in a series of potentially dangerous missteps in recent weeks. A month before the war, the 79-year-old president, well, he talks about the minor incursion thing. It says Mr. Biden suggested that NATO would respond in kind if there was a chemical attack. He mentions the war criminal butcher comments here more recently. It says here, when you put him in a corner and you talk the way they're talking, they're almost giving him an incentive, said Donald Trump. The Kremlin spokesman last week said that Russia could use nuclear weapons if it faced an existential threat, while analysts note that Putin increasingly considers himself to be the embodiment of the Russian state. Mr. Trump said Mr. Biden was being forced to apologize 3-4 times a day for gaffes, adding, "We have people that don't know what they're doing, and it's the most dangerous time in the history of our country. They just don't know what they're doing." Well, what have we said in the trumpet? It's worse than incompetence. It's an attack. America under attack. See, Barack Obama's behind it all. This serves their purposes. Let's keep this conflict raging in Ukraine. Hopefully it'll bring Putin down. But at the very least, what a distraction from what's happening at our southern border. What a distraction from the inflation, the rising fuel and energy costs. The cost for food. Neil Ferguson, he's the commentator in the UK. He came right out and said, I mean, it seems like that the goal here for the Biden administration is to just prolong this conflict in such a way where it makes it sort of bleeds Russia dry. Just keep it going for as long as is possible. Ferguson says, prolonging the war runs the risk, though, not just of leaving tens of thousands of Ukrainians dead and millions homeless, but also of handing Putin something that he can plausibly present at home as a victory. Betting on a Russian revolution is betting on an exceedingly rare event. Even if the war continues to go badly for Putin, if the war turns in his favor, there will be no palace coup. I mean, it's taking quite a risk, a calculated risk on the part of American foreign policy. This is your strategy? Hope that there will be some kind of a palace coup? It says here, of course, Putin has the power, unlike Saddam and Gaddafi, to threaten to use nuclear weapons, though I don't believe he needs to do more than make threats, given that the conventional war is likely to turn in his favor. It's like we said last week, the longer that this goes on, it plays in Russia's favor. They can wait out the clock here because they've got more firepower. But that the Biden administration would actually want that in the hope, the false hope, we should add, that it will somehow bring down the Putin regime. Ferguson says, I fail to see in current Western strategizing any real recognition of how badly this war could go for Ukraine in the coming weeks. See, they go forward, these Biden people, the Joe Obama administration, they go forward with their agenda. And there can be no wrong, even when the results are spectacularly wrong or they show a spectacular failure. It doesn't matter. It's like I said last week. They go forward. They don't even stop to consider the error of their ways. It's all about carrying out that agenda. Listen to this exchange. This is from CNN's Dana Bash and America's NATO ambassador, clip 7.
Are you concerned that by walking back the president's comments, you and other administration officials may be undermining him on the world stage at a really critical moment?
I think we all feel great about how the last couple of days have gone.
Right. It's been perfect. It's been, the truth of it is, they want to get him home, the fake president, as fast as is possible. Get him, if he can't stay on script, get him back in the basement. Get him back in the basement now, right away. What did she say? I think we all feel great about how the last couple of days have gone. That's not true. That's a bit of fake news right there. And that's coming from a Biden administration official. She's the ambassador to NATO. Meanwhile, at home, listen to these reports or this update on Biden's plummeting poll numbers from Chuck Todd, clip 6.
Overall, President Biden's job approval stands at just 40%, with 55% disapproving. This is his worst showing yet in our poll since he became president.
The worst showing yet. And there's no bottom in sight. It just keeps going down. It just keeps plunging downward. Listen again to Joe Biden over the weekend. This might have been actually from Friday. But here he is talking about, finally, some would say, he's finally talking about the U.S. border crisis. But listen to the context here. This is clip 4.
The fact that you have so many Ukrainians seeking refuge in this country of Poland. We understand that because we have in our southern border thousands of people a day, literally, not figuratively, trying to get into the United States. But
he actually says we understand why these Ukrainians would be fleeing to Poland, because we've got people from Central and South America fleeing into the United States. In fact, he's the one that brought on the crisis at the border of America, America's southern border. He caused it. He caused it. If you want to make comparisons, okay, so let's say Putin, he caused the refugee crisis. These Ukrainians spilling into Poland and everywhere else in Europe. And it's Joe Biden, America's own president. Listen to this report from Fox News, clip 5.
We're on pace to release about 100,000 people this month alone. The problem is this administration continues to release and encourage people to come to the United States and break our laws. The parole to ATD, all that does is encourages more people to cross our borders illegally. They continue to do the same things over and over again, which is why we're seeing the numbers that we're seeing.
Astounding. I mean, look at that. 2020, we had 36,000 plus encounters at the southern border. 2021, 101. And that's when we were down there, Brandon, every day thinking this is unbelievable. Well, look at 2022, 164,000. That is a 50% increase in 1 year. And there's just no way to handle that.
Yeah, we added more than 1 million illegal aliens to our population last year in 2021. We're now on pace to add 1.5 million illegal aliens to our population this year alone. These numbers are astounding. And again, it's easily fixed.
It's easily fixed, he says there at the end. Astounding figures. And Biden's over in Europe talking about taking in 100,000 Ukrainian refugees. Even as a million flood into the United States from our southern border. And look, they're not fleeing from Putin's rampage in Colombia or Mexico. They know the Biden policies have opened the gates. That doesn't mean there isn't violence. There's violence running right up to the border of the United States. To say nothing of the fact that among the million, and then a million and a half this year, you've got all these MS-13 gang members, you've got drug smugglers, you've got smugglers bringing in fentanyl, you've got human traffickers, gangs, gang members, rapists, and Joe Biden saying, come on in, come on in, it's never been more wide open. Those numbers that they gave to you in that report, that's from February. To go from like 30,000 to then 110,000, whatever it was, to 164,000? And there's Joe Biden in Europe just kind of casually saying, we know what the border crisis is. He's never been to the U.S. border. Not during his presidency. He won't go down there. And yet he makes it to Ukraine's border. Or at least the other side in Poland. and then he says what he says about our border crisis, and then he says Putin needs to be removed, it benefits this illegitimate administration. It benefits Joe Obama to keep the carnage alive, to keep it going, to keep the war going. Don't dial it down. Don't try to solve this diplomatically. Don't try to negotiate your way out of this. Say the people that have been all diplomacy, negotiate for decades. Now they're warmongers. How do you explain this? This is an upside down world. It's a world that's off the rail. Nothing encapsulates it, by the way, as I was saying to our students this morning. Like this fight at the Academy Awards, of all things. Here you've got the winner, the best, what is it, the best actor? He gets up and punches a guy who makes a joke about his wife. Even though there was a joke earlier about their open marriage, where they can both have sexual relations with just anybody and everybody. And then there's another joke that sends him over the edge. Punch the host or the comedian. Then come back later, 30 minutes later, get your award. He's just committed assault in front of the whole world. Then he gets the perhaps the most distinguished award in the world of acting. And he starts sobbing. He starts saying life is imitating art or vice versa or whatever. Sometimes love makes you do crazy things. And then you've got the A-list actors that are there to console him and to comfort him. And everybody cheer. Standing ovation. He's the victim. The one that punched the host is the victim. Doesn't that perfectly encapsulate the world of today? Up is down, black is white, right is wrong. It's all, and who knows if the incident itself, perhaps the incident itself is just pure theater. We're used to that, aren't we? So much fakery and phoniness. God says it's a sickness. It's like a cancer. And it's spreading. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Thank God we have the sure light of Bible prophecy. And we can thank God that there is a time limit on the crazy and the bizarre and the upside down. Satan knows he has but a short time, Revelation 12. He's cast to this earth. He's filled with rage. And you see so much mental derangement. You see so much mental, I mean, you talk about some demonic influence, the range of emotions in just 25, 30 minutes time. On a silly award show that millions upon millions of people watch. Crazy. Crazy has gone mainstream. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing and it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
One final segment on the subject of grace. I know that that's a topic we've discussed in a few of our studies over the past week. But you'll recall, just to reiterate some of the points we made last week, that God's grace is an undeserved free gift or unmerited pardon. That's how Herbert Armstrong defined it. My father, years later, mentioned that God's grace really is everything that God gives to us. None of it's deserved. God, the Father of lights, the great giver of all there is, we can't possibly outgive God. He's there to distribute blessing upon blessing, to open the windows of heaven, as Malachi 3 says, and to just pour forth blessings unmeasured into our lives. I mentioned this passage in Titus 2 and what God's grace actually teaches us or shows us. You know about what Jude says, the warning that he gave to God's people right there toward the end of the New Testament, where he said, you better earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Because there's certain men that have crept into the church unawares, who've turned the grace of God into a license or an excuse to disobey. Well, God's grace covers all, so we can live any old way we want. No problem. Jude said, you better be on guard. You better be faithful. You better earnestly contend for it. Otherwise, false apostles, fake ministers will come along and take away what God gave to you. Coming back to this point about what grace teaches, Titus 2, verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, this is verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is what God's grace teaches us. It brings salvation. It's appeared to all men, verse 11 says, and then it teaches us. See, there's something when 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says that we ought to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, this means we're learning, we're understanding more, we're growing. God is teaching us his grace, what he distributes, those blessings unmeasured. What's the lesson in all of that? What's God getting across? What is he teaching? He's teaching us that we should live soberly, that we should live righteously. Verse 13 continues, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See, come out of filthiness. You can read this in James 1 and verse 21. Just come out. You've come out of the world. Let go of that filthiness, all of that impurity, and live soberly and live righteously and be zealous for good works. That's the way of a Christian. That's the way of a true Christian. It's a battle. It's a knockdown, drag-out war. But we've got to fight to live unto God and to not let those pulls of the flesh drag us down. We've put to death that old man. He's been crucified. Read through Romans 6. Look at 1 John 1 here and verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, we want to continuously walk in the direction of God, walk in the light, walk in the way of obeying God's commandments. And if we do that, it says there that the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all sin. And really, you can look into the Greek there and see that it's the present continuous tense. That's how it's used. The next chapter, we'll get to it in a moment. But John talks about, well, what happens when you sin after you've been baptized? Well, you've got an advocate. You've got an advocate there that can help lift you out of that captivity, that sin, that addictive habit or behavior, and actually break free from it so that you can live in liberty and the freedom of obedience to God's laws. Verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, verse 9 brings out, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is talking about true Christians and what happens after they've converted to the truth. What happens if they trip up and get caught up in sin? Well, it tells us that Jesus will forgive us. God will forgive us if we remain in an attitude of repentance. If we turn to God in repentance and faith. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And when you come into God's true church, I mean, there is a process. It's very different from the congregations or denominations of this world, where ministers in God's church will contact, you know, people interested in attending, new contacts or prospective members, we'll call them. And we want to familiarize them with God's laws, God's commandments. That's why we send them so much of our literature, so that they can study it and understand and know the truth of God. And then respond to it. To not be hearers only, but doers. James, I mentioned James 1:21. Read verse 21 and then read verse 22. If we're hearers only and not doers, we're deceiving ourselves. God wants to make us righteous. God wants us to put away sin. And so we go through this process leading up to baptism, and then at baptism and the laying on of hands, we receive of the power of God so that we can, by God's power, live unto God and really serve God with our whole hearts and really submit to God's will. You can read about the human will and the will of God in Romans 7. Philippians 2:13, that's another important verse. But it says in verse 1, there really should be no chapter break. It says, if we say we have not sinned, and we make him a liar, and his word's not in us, and then verse 1 of chapter 2, John says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. So he's writing to God's people. He's writing to the brethren of God. And he says, look, I'm writing this so that you don't sin. But, it continues, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. God wants to make us righteous like Jesus Christ is righteous. That's why Peter said, follow in the steps of Christ. 1 Peter 2:21. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a helper. We have an encourager. We have an intercessor. We have Christ the righteous, who lived a perfect and sinless life. Hebrews 4 says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't sin. So he knows what it's like to resist against the pulls of the flesh. And he's right there at the throne room of God. And this brings another dimension to God's understanding and thinking. He's got a son right next to him who's lived in the flesh like you and me. So he knows. He's there to advocate. As my father has written, this just shows God's great passion for justice. He wants to be totally just and fair and perfect in his judgments as he works with you and with me, helping us through the power of God's Spirit to come out of sin and to be made righteous like his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, it says, and he is, speaking of Christ, he is the propitiation for our sins, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I mean, this purpose and plan of salvation as it's unfolding before us, ultimately the whole world will have their minds open to the truth, including Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin and Zelensky and Ukraine, everybody. Everyone who doesn't presently know the truth, and that would include most people on earth today, including most people who've ever lived. And yet you hear precious little, if anything, about the second resurrection to flesh and blood and the opportunity for the books of life to be opened so that all of mankind, everyone who's ever lived, might be judged according to the laws of God. And be given an opportunity to live out their physical lives in service to and obedience to God. This purpose, this plan, I don't have Mystery of the Ages up here, but that's the magnificent summary of God's awesome purpose. Mystery of the Ages by Herbert Armstrong, a timeless work that we offer time and again. Call our operators and request Mystery of the Ages. If you don't have your copy yet or already, the toll-free number, if you're in the U.S. or Canada or the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. Verse 3 here in 1 John 2, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." This is how you get to know God, when you obey his laws, his commandments, his statutes and judgments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Romans 13. God is love. God is love. And that's what his law is. It's an expression of God's love, to live in accordance with God's laws. Notice 2 Corinthians 7. This is verse 1. It says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We've got these precious promises, and God says to be cleansed, to be purified. We've received all of these gifts by God's grace. And so God says, remove all filthiness. Remove all of this filthy human nature. Human nature is sick, as Jeremiah 17:9 and Romans 8:7 brings out. Jesus said we need a physician. We need to be healed. God's grace, coming back to this lesson that it teaches us that we need to be cleaning up our lives, that we need to be removing sin, that we need to be coming out of Egypt, spiritually speaking, that we need to be overcoming our adversary and those pulls of the flesh and the ways of this world. One last verse. Notice this. This is 2 Corinthians 6, just backing up a chapter. Having these promises we just read, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. And then chapter 6 in verse 1, it says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." That's what so many have done in the world of traditional Christianity. They've received the grace of God in vain. Well, I guess you could also argue that they haven't even received it yet because they don't understand God's purpose and plan. But many of God's people in these last days, they've received the grace of God in vain because they didn't remove all filthiness, or they didn't continue to do that. They didn't endure to the end. Matthew 24:13. They threw in the towel. I mean, this verse, just take it at face value. It's telling us that you can receive God's grace in vain. Do you hear that kind of a message coming out of the churches of this world? Now, you better be careful. Otherwise, you could receive this in vain. You might lose out. But look, that's what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 6. Jude, like I mentioned just a moment ago, he said you better earnestly fight for this. Otherwise, certain men crept in unawares are going to deceive you. How are they going to deceive you? Saying that grace is a license to do whatever you want. Once saved, always saved. Come as you are. That's not the truth of the Bible. Just think about this for a moment. If someone doesn't care one bit about how they live, or they somehow conclude or reason that Jesus Christ came along to do away with God's law, why would they even want grace in the first place? If it's no problem for God to just say, okay, I don't care how you live, just live any old way, why would he send his son to be slaughtered because of sin, because of our sins? It's because God won't compromise with his perfect standard. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. So here are, all of human beings. Everyone's committed sin. We've all earned eternal death. So how does God reproduce himself? How does God build a family when everyone's condemned to death? He sent his son in the flesh. God came in the flesh and lived a perfect, sinless life and became a perfect sacrifice so that those sins of our past could be purged out from our existence, blotted out of our past. And then we could go forward in newness of life. And I just read to you 1 John 1, where it talks about what we're to do if after converting to the truth, we slip up and fall down. Well, we've got to stay in an attitude of repentance always, turning to God. We can't use this fact as an excuse to keep tripping up, to keep falling into sin. Far from it. God says, come out. But if any man sin, we've got an advocate. We've got a helper. We've got to turn to God for help and for power and strength in time of need, so that God and his son, Jesus Christ, can deliver us from sin. When we come, we'll take a short break. We'll come back and we'll finish off today's show with some email feedback from some of you viewers. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
We've got a few minutes here. We'll race through as many emails as we can. This one says, kudos on tomorrow's news today. If it's not unusual to hear a news item during the day, which sounds significant, and to find you're already on top of it by the time I can listen to the TD program. I appreciate the program and all you're doing to give the biblical and prophetic message conveyed through current events. It is beyond value. Another one writes, just wanted to say thank you and so glad that your show actually teaches the real truth of the real God, explaining things like the topic of grace, of which the Laodiceans either avoid or give false information about. I watch your shows most days, wish you were on every TV channel and radio stations twice a day, as the world would actually have a chance of understanding. So there, that's thinking big. That's what we want. This one from Southern California says, could it be that Donald Trump's lawsuit naming Obama would cause it to be rebuffed? This lawsuit will open the door to seeing the game plan, which will lead people to see Obama's footprints behind it. Great shows. Thank you. That's with respect to Donald Trump's lawsuit against the deep state. We talked about that on Friday's show, I believe, last week. Another one here says, so Trump has begun to wage war to recover by suing Hillary Clinton and company. Exciting. Her believing herself to be highly aristocratic and above the average American. Something tells me she won't happily take the fall for Obama. Says if everyone else is too afraid to mention the true leader of that cabal, I believe she will to save her own skin. Thank God for revealed and fulfilled prophecy. Another one here says, my compliment to you that I have never heard anyone able to explain and express themselves on a 54-minute daily program as you do. Wow, appreciate that encouragement and praise there. Another one here says, I had the most amazing thing happen to me today. I had a doctor's visit for a knee injury on my bike. I had to fill out some forms. I glanced at a magazine rack. And lo and behold, I see the most amazing vision, a beautiful sight for sore eyes, the Trumpet magazine. How about that? Right in the doctor's lobby or the entry room to the doctor's office. Says, I immediately picked it up and curiously glanced at the back, and it was ordered from the doctor that I was supposed to see. Well, imagine that. I'd never been here before, so that's why it was so special. Again and again, thank you. For all of the mountainous work that you do. Another one here says, thank you for persistently exposing the truth. Don't ever stop. I'm certain our great God is pleased with all your efforts. No doubt everyone involved in the broadcasting department is inspired and motivated by recent events. Thank you for keeping us updated. We're so very blessed to be the first to know God's wondrous, awesome, all-encompassing truth. Continue to be fearless and bold. As always, my prayers are with you. Another one here says, just listen to the show, and although it's disheartening to hear how our country is being steered headfirst into the iceberg, full steam ahead, I'm happy that this administration took office. They are ushering in the most exciting period of time since the creation event, the return of Jesus Christ, and I'm truly looking forward to it. And it goes on and talks about how they love to hear the sound bites from Herbert Armstrong. And they conclude by saying he was right, just like the title of our booklet says. Another one here says, I listen to the Trumpet Daily every day. And on March 23rd, you touched on listeners suggesting you cease mentioning the election steal. I say keep at it every day, as long as it's relevant. And it is. Never be pressured to not mention it. You are an awesome voice for truth in a dark world. Another one here says, nice jacket with the AC logo. Is it possible to obtain one of them? Well, I went through our Reflections bookstore website. I don't think they sell that one that I had on the show. It was quite an old sweatshirt, one that I took a little bit of a hit for from my wife and a few others close to me. What did you wear an old sweatshirt on the TD for? It was actually very chilly that morning. Just to give you the full backstory, I finished class at 9 a.m., I went home, took off my suit coat, had my shirt and tie and everything on there at my home office, and then thought, well, I'll pull on a sweatshirt because it's kind of chilly. And then by the time it was time to leave, and it's always a rush, rush, rush over to the studio, I had the jumper on, and I thought, well, I'll just keep the AC sweatshirt on. So there you go. And there was at least one of you that thought that was really nice and wanted to purchase. Actually, they went to the website. It's reflections-bookstore.square.site. You can go to that website and pick up quite a few things. Caps, T-shirts, sweatshirts, sweats, that sort of thing. Anyway, lots of things that we offer in the college bookstore here on campus. A couple more short ones. It says, you're looking good with that Jerusalem suntan on your face. This is from a couple weeks ago, so that's nice to see, although the tan must surely be gone by now. What a different world we have now because of our stolen election from Donald Trump. And then lastly, it says, thank you so much for your dedication to the entire work. The proof is in the pudding. When you're gone, your substitutes are 100% on top brilliant. Good one to leave off on for today. If you'd like to write to the program, just email the show, TD. You can see it there at the bottom of your screen, TD@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.